Everybody, welcome to episode 359 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When you work with Legacy Realty, you're not just getting one of the largest and most trusted real estate agencies in Ankeny, you're partnering with over 75 expert agents who are committed to your success. Whether you're searching for your dream home or selling your property for the best possible price, we offer the right tools, strategies, and support to help get you there. As part of LPT Realty, a national leader in the real estate industry, we combine local expertise with innovative knowledge to give you an unbeatable advantage. Choose us for unparalleled service, proven results, and a commitment to your success in every transaction. Legacy Realty of Iowa, where your real estate goals become a reality. All right, we're going to focus today on the Ankeny Centennial Girls Cross Country Team, which took over the number one spot in this week's Class 4A rankings from the Iowa Association of Track Coaches. In a little while, I'll be talking to two of the team's top runners, but my first guest right now is the team's longtime head coach, who's guided the Jaguars to 12 state meet appearances in the 13-year history of the program. They've earned 9 top 10 finishes along the way and 4 top 5 finishes since 2020. Last Tuesday, his team opened the season by winning the Jaguar Early Bird Invitational at DMAC, where they edged defending state champion and then number one Waukee Northwest by 1 point to win the title. Here's Eric Cogdill. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
You bet. Well, congratulations on your team's win a week ago. I didn't get a chance to talk to you after the meet, so before we look ahead to tomorrow's meetup in Ames and the rest of the season, let's break down that victory first. I know it's early in the season and that was just one meet, but you know, are there some takeaways from that meet that you think might hold true for the rest of the year? You know, did it show that your team is a true contender in Class 4A?
Yeah, definitely in the sense of that, we would be. We've never particularly ran well at that first meet. It's not something that we sharpen up for or rest up for. So for us to come out and perform at that level was really reassuring. Having 3 really low sticks is something that we're really blessed with. That it's a rarity in our sport. A lot of times talent gets spread around and a lot of schools might have 1, maybe 2. For us to have those 3 girls there, that's fantastic. And then a really nice supported cast that really ran tough and really stayed really close to the Northwest 4th and 5th runners as well. And Wise coach up at Cedar Falls said that you're only as good as your 5th runner. And that's something that we are going to have to keep developing, because that's going to ultimately decide, are we on the podium or are we not on the podium?
What's some nice recognition for you guys to become the number one team this week? And I was trying to remember, is this the first time that you guys have ever been ranked number one?
Yeah, this is our first time at the top.
Well, it's got to be pretty cool.
That's a neat feather in the cap and accolade for these girls. There was about 9 of them that really just honed in super hard this summer and committed themselves and have been looking at this season for a good 10 months.
Now, your home meet is different from a lot of other meets. It is a smaller meet with just 6 teams competing, and you guys run the meet in 2 separate races because you have a 9-10 race and then an 11-12 race, and then you merge the results to determine the overall winner. So obviously not all the girls, are competing against each other on that day. I'm sure maybe that has a little bit of an effect on the results, doesn't it?
It possibly can. It's just a lot of the teams do like that. You don't have to decide who your top 7 are on that day. So it's kind of a organized time trial in that sense. I look at it affected Trinity and Ellie probably more than our other girls, because they didn't have a teammate to run with. And so they're out there doing it and grinding by themselves. Whereas Northwest, their 5 of their top 6 or 6 of their top 7 were all together in that 11-12 race. So, in a sense, when we come together at Ames, and it has often been the case, we perform a lot better because we reunite.
Well, 5 of your top 7 runners did come out of that 9-10 race, and that explains why you guys easily won that division with 29 points. Considering how young your team, is this year, you have to not only feel really good about this year's team, but about the future of the program as well.
Yeah, we try really hard to just keep the pipeline refilling, and we've put together some 6th and 7th grade camps at Prairie Ridge Middle School to get us, just reach down, and that's helped us to keep that continuity going. I'm really focused and all in on this year's team now.
Well, talk about some of your individuals. Sophomore Rebecca Flick placed 2nd in that 9-10 race and was also 2nd overall in a time of 18:20. She finished about 11 seconds behind Emmy Steubendeck of Northwest, and those two girls finished about a minute ahead of the rest of the field. Now, Rebecca's number 4 in the latest Class 4A individual rankings. Do you think she showed in that race that she's in store for a special season?
Yeah, for sure. Becky has worked a lot harder in the last offseason than she had the previous offseason. She had a terrific track season, so she's still growing and learning and developing as a runner and as a woman. And it definitely looks like she's in store for a breakout season and she'll probably be back in the 17s again, like she did last year at Ames. Maybe not tomorrow, but at some point she'll see the 17s again.
Now, she wasn't able to join us tonight because I know she was supposed to head off to a soccer practice, but we will be talking to two of your other top runners here in a little bit. Rebecca, though, is used to juggling multiple sports, like you mentioned, in the spring. She had a nice track season. She also played soccer, did very well in that sport, and I imagine she's probably already drawing some interest from college coaches in both sports. Has she indicated to you at all? I'm just curious, you know, which of those sports she might be leaning to playing in the future?
No, I have no idea. Becky is kind of a live-by-the-minute girl, and she kind of has to be because her schedule's pretty full and tight. So she's just fun to watch her just go be herself. I don't think she has to think a whole lot. It's like she's super talented. She could probably do all three at a very high level, and someday she'll pick, or maybe she won't pick, and she'll just go do a couple of them because it's been done before.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Well, Rebecca was followed in that race by her daughter, fellow sophomore Natalie Cogdill. She placed third overall in 1912. You had two other sophomores in top 10 finishes in that race. Sammy Mail was sixth in 2041. Piper Klinger was eighth in 21 flat. And then you had a freshman, Zoe Bogseth, who took 10th in 2118. And I understand Zoe is juggling both cross country and volleyball right now, so she's got a full plate too, doesn't she?
Yeah, you know, Zoe, much like Ellie, Ellie's eighth grade season, she kind of just showed up and ran an 800 during the track. And Coach Simak, our junior high coach, said, "Hey, you got to take a look at this girl." And 3 years later, here's Zoe doing the same thing, had a real nice 800. I reached out to the family, said, "You can do this. Ellie Blevins is a perfect model. Last year, she was the second fastest runner in the entire state for juniors. Zoe might have this in her future. Maybe we just take a look at it." And I had Zoe's older brother, Brandon, in class and had made a couple connections with the family. And so Ellie showed her the way. I mean, that's just huge. And the whole group has taken Zoe under her wing and Maddie Ames under her wing. And Greer Gasper is another one that's kind of right there in that group. And I'm sure I'll forget somebody because we just keep them coming. But Piper, too, I'm so excited for Piper. She's where she belongs, back in our top seven. Last year, she struggled to be in there at the beginning of the season and had to claw her way in. But she looks really strong and she's confident. She's working on a couple things that's really helping her out as well. And of course, Sammy is just so steady and strong. And you can always count on Sammy to show up and run her heart out. And she certainly does. And then Natalie had a terrific summer, just worked her tail off too. And yeah, just any one of these girls, you just want to just take them. And, you know, I think of a lot of them in many ways that I'd be comfortable with any one of them being my daughter, just because they strive so much to be the absolute best.
Well, then in that 11-12 race, your top finisher was senior Ellie Blevins. She took second and placed fifth overall in 1927. Now I'll be talking to Ellie and Natalie here in a few minutes. But I know Ellie told me after the race that she was already looking forward to this week's race, where she would be able to run alongside Rebecca and Natalie. And like you said, that'll probably benefit her, won't it?
Absolutely, yeah. So Ellie she's definitely a social animal. She loves these girls and she loves to have them around her and just be a part of it. When she's in a race by herself, it's very tough for her. And it would be tough for anybody, but especially because she thrives on that energy from others. And definitely just having teammates that really support you is a big piece of what makes Ellie be her best. And so seeing our girls grow and get closer to Ellie this last year has been a really big perk as well.
You guys also got a 10th place finish in that race from junior Trinity Klingensmith, who posted a time of 20:44. Now, when you look at the overall results, you know, you have the two girls who are way out in front of everybody. And then your 2 and 3 girls finished ahead of Northwest 2 and 3. And like you mentioned, Northwest 4 and 5 finished just ahead of your 4 and 5. And then Northwest 6 and 7 were just right there behind Trinity. But overall, it does seem like the two teams are pretty evenly matched.
Yeah, at the moment, it is. It's a nice way to set it up and match it out and stuff. Trinity is just another just fantastic human being, and just seeing her taste success and keep finding success year after year has been a blessing as well.
Let's look ahead now. You guys will compete in the Kirschmaltz Invitational on Thursday at the Iowa State Cross Country Course in Ames. And we are experiencing a heat wave right now. And you're telling me off air here before we started that they've made some changes to the meet because of the heat, right? So why don't you tell us again what they're going to do?
So they've condensed everything down to one girls race. They're going to start at 6:30 instead of 6:15 for the girls. They're going to let every team put 10 on the start line. So 10 varsity girls. And then 10 meters behind the start line, they're going to let each team put up to 30 additional girls to serve as that JV race. So it'll be a really interesting start. That course can handle a lot of people. I've seen 600 plus girls in a single race. This will be approaching 500 most likely. It'll be 10 or 12 runners wide at the first turn, which is 10% of the way in the race, 500 meters. So that'll be, will be exciting. And then when the race gets down to the finish, we're going to see some girls getting lapped, being not even quite to the halfway point when our top runners are finishing.
So you can have 10 in the varsity then, so any of them can score for you, is that right?
Any of those 10, well, honestly, any of the 40 can score because it's one timing chip. Oh. And you don't have to designate ahead of time, but if someone comes out of our back line and scores, then I've really misidentified
yeah. the runner. Well, that's a meet where you guys placed second behind Northwest a year ago. Now with this change in the format, do you think this will be a two-team race again?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good teams in Iowa. I do think it's just us and Northwest this meet. But down the line, DCG and Pleasant Valley and Johnston are all going to be really tough. And then Cedar Falls didn't look the part last week, but I know they have the personnel.
Well, I know in the past that you've had a deep pool of runners that you could run varsity for you, and you would sometimes change up your lineup throughout the season, you know, for one reason or another. Do you think you could have some other girls, you know, who we could see at some point this season in the varsity?
Yeah, for sure. We've got probably, again, we kind of mentioned nine before that really worked their tails off this summer, and then a couple just kind of freshmen that, not to say that they didn't work really hard, but I haven't seen them since November. I saw them starting in June. So there could be 10 or 11 that will change the part here and there.
Well, looking at the rest of your schedule, and there's one meet that sticks out that you haven't ran at before, and that's on September 26th. You're slated to run in the Gans Creek Classic at Columbia, Missouri. So how did that meet come about for you guys?
Yep. So the last 2 years, we went down to the Rimrock Classic in Lawrence, Kansas, and we got fourth place both times in the highest level division, their gold division. And we ran both of those races shorthanded because we had some soccer conflicts or homecoming conflicts. And so we really wanted to see our whole team, our true self. And so Gans Creek actually offers their elite division Friday night, which I believe is the 25th.
Oh, okay.
And so we're going to go and we'll have everybody available. It's not a soccer weekend. It happened to be our homecoming weekend. So our girls will run Friday night and then they'll get back in time for the homecoming dance Saturday night. And we really like that. Gans Creek hosted the NCAA Nationals last fall. And so I was able to check out the course. I went down and watched Nationals. One of my former runners was on the NCAA committee that put on the event. So she was able to get us some passes and some backstage access and stuff.
Is that Jesslyn that did that?
Jess Gomer. Okay. He's fantastic, yeah.
Well, obviously your team's goal every year is to peak at the end of the season. Last year you guys placed fifth in Class 4A with 136 points, and that set a school record for the best team score at the state meet. You scored five fewer points than you did in 2020 when you placed third for the highest finish in school history. Now, I know you told me for the preview article this fall that it was going to be very tough to get on the podium this year with so many strong contending teams, but you challenged your girls, you know, to chase the state title because, you know, you think that's a realistic goal, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely, and we talked today about the expectation effect. And so if you have somebody who sets expectations and you believe them and buy in them, it can change your brain to make them happen. And similarly, if you have negative expectations, you know, like, oh, I'm going to die in the second mile, your brain already is fighting that notion and it's going to self-deliver. So yeah, I expect we're going to compete for a team trophy, and we have the right people to do it and the right mindset, right attitude. And we step on that line healthy, we're going to be there.
Well, it should be a fun season. I'll be interested to follow it along the way. Coach, thanks for joining me tonight. I appreciate it, and I'll see you up there tomorrow night.
Thank you so much.
You bet. All right, listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017, is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Well, joining me right now are two of the Jaguars' top runners. To my left is a senior and a three-time state qualifier who placed eighth in Class 4A a year ago in a time of 18:03. She is ninth in the latest Class 4A individual rankings. She is Ellie Blevins. Ellie, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
And to my right is a sophomore who placed 31st in last year's state meet in 1905. She is now sixth in the latest Class 4A individual ranking. She is Natalie Cogdill. Natalie, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
All right, I'm just going to bounce some questions back and forth between the two of you guys. We already broke down last week's meet with Coach, but I also wanted to get your thoughts on the first race of the season. Natalie, let's start with you. You ran in that 9-10 race against Rebecca and Emmy Stubendeck, and you stayed with those two for a while before they eventually pulled away from the field. You know, how did you feel about your race?
Um,
I'm not sure.
Not sure, huh?
Yeah.
For your first time out, I mean, did you have high expectations for yourself?
My expectations were, I wasn't really sure where I was supposed to be, I guess. I just wanted to compete hard, and it was the hill on the second time around. Emmy parked really hard up the hill, and Becky just kind of followed her, and I wasn't ready for that. And I think it kind of got in my head a little bit. So I know I didn't put my best foot out there on the course, I guess. And my last mile was pretty interesting. So I'm excited to go into the next race knowing that I'll have people to run with.
Well, to get third overall and to maybe not be all that satisfied with your race, you got to feel pretty good. So, well, and Ellie, you got a chance to watch that race before you ran in the 11-12 race. And I know you told me afterwards you really enjoyed watching your teammates run and cheering them on. You know, when you saw the times that Emmy and Rebecca posted, you know, were you surprised at all? And did you think maybe your race would be that fast too?
I kind of knew that obviously Emmy is an insanely talented runner and Rebecca really just stays with whoever's out front, and that holds true in track and in cross country. She just kind of is always there. And so I kind of knew about halfway through the race, I'm like, well, this is going to be a fast one. So it was really exciting to watch. And then kind of looking forward into my race, I was like, I don't really know how quick we're going to be. Just kind of like, it's more of, as you get older, you kind of race more tactfully in a way. So I knew I was going to be racing a bunch against a bunch of Northwest girls. And my strategy was just kind of see how the race played out for me. And it ended up doing, I ended up doing pretty well, I'd say, placement wise. Obviously, not quite the time that I would have wanted. But I think that the speed of the race was about what I expected it to be, because it was pretty similar to what I had ran the year before.
Well, you also told me that you guys went into that race as a check just to see where you were at, and you were right behind, you know, you're right there at the finish line. You finished just 5 seconds behind the winner, Olive DeRocher of Norwalk. So yeah, you were pretty happy with the result, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you guys entered the season ranked number two as a team, and you had 4 girls in the individual rankings. Now your team has taken over the number one spot after beating Northwest. You know, Nally, do you think teams will be gunning more for you guys now?
Yeah, I think so. We've really grown a lot closer, not only with our training, but also just as a team. And I think that's really helped us this year. Just to have so much support from so many girls, it's kind of like having sisters, which I have 2 brothers, so it's pretty special to have that, I guess.
Sure. And Ellie, what do you think? What will the number one ranking put a target on your backs?
I'm kind of thinking of this in like the way that like Northwest, they've been number one for however long, and it's kind of more of we want to see ourselves there rather than we want to take them down, because obviously cross country, like, it does get competitive, but I love to keep it friendly. Like, even on the race, in the race last week, like, I saw Lainey Sundet, like, even cheering for me during the race. Like, it's always friendly with them, so I don't think it'll put as much of a target on our backs as like you may think it is, like obviously taking down the reigning state champs, like in rankings. But I think it's more of a friendly competition, like putting our best foot forward within each team and really making sure that everybody like is happy with where they are, kind of thing.
It does seem like there's a lot of camaraderie between the teams. You know, I see that in track too. So let's talk about tomorrow's meet now. Both your team and Northwest will be running in the Kirk Schmaltz Invitational at Ames, where there'll be 17 teams in the field, you know. And I was going to say, if everybody has a full lineup, there's going to be over 100 runners in the course, but coach is saying that they're going to be like 500 now. So Nally, will that make it even more important to get out fast, because you don't want to get stuck in traffic, do you?
I'm not really sure. I think I'm just going to try to run a skillful race. I don't want to go out and burn myself out. And I think it would be good if, I think our plan is just for Becky and Ellie and I to stay together and work together and just feel the camaraderie between us and then do whatever we can do at the end. But I think we will stay in touch with the first pack and then try to catch a few girls who are kind of like falling stars.
And Ellie, I mentioned earlier that you said last week that you're looking forward to running tomorrow with Natalie and Rebecca. So will that be your goal tomorrow to get out with them, to stay with them, you know, as far as you can?
Yeah, of course. It kind of depends on really how fast the first group will go out, because, you know, everybody feels invincible in that first mile. So it kind of depends on that, and kind of just reminding ourselves to run our own race, like we're all in this together. Like, all three of us are in this together, and it's like we have an amazing team behind us, even backing us up in this. And I feel as though, like, it's almost like we're all kind of, it's all for one. Like, we're all racing to hit that finish line. So it's not really, oh, I'm going to be racing against them, them, and them. It's more of we're all racing together. And if one of us falls back, like, the two girls are right in front of you again. So.
Well, last year you guys placed second. At this meet, you finished 9 points behind Northwest. You guys got a runner-up finish from Rebecca, and LA, you placed third. But then there was a gap to your next three runners who finished 16th, 22nd, and 23rd. Natalie, you were the fifth scoring runner that day, and I'm sure your goal will be to finish, you know, considerably higher tomorrow. What's the key to having a good race on that course?
I think just being smart. Like Ellie was saying, everyone feels really good in that first mile, especially just because of how flat the course is. And I think just going out smart and running your own race, like Ellie was saying, is really, really important, because you don't want to go out too fast and then, especially on hot days, crash at the end.
And Ellie, you've ran that course multiple times in your career. You know, do you like that course?
I really do, yeah. I think it is a really great course, obviously. It's a collegiate course. The grass is really nice on there. And honestly, like, they put on a really great meet there. Like, they have the band come out and play, and it's just a really great atmosphere to run in. There's many times where people can cheer you on because it's two loops of a race, and it kind of just, it's a course where I'm happy to be, like, I'm happy to race on.
Is it a pretty solid course too? I mean, do you guys ever run into a situation where, like, you step into a little bit of a hole?
I don't think I've ever stepped in a hole there. There's like a tiny little gravel road, but that's not too bad.
Now, either of you or both of you can answer this one. You know, if you are able to race tomorrow, I assume they're not going to cancel it at this point, but what precautions will you have to take, you know, because of the heat?
So we're gonna, Kaga's told a bunch of parents, or told a bunch of girls to tell their parents, like, have water bottles, like, ready to go, like, on the sidelines of the race so you can grab it and go. Like, I know I, last week, I get pretty hot during races, and it really helps me kind of reset to have something cold. Like, it kind of just, like, shocks your system. Like, I'm still racing, I still need to stay in it. So we're gonna have those, like, just parents with water bottles on the ready for anybody. And then also we're gonna have, like, a cooling station at our team camp. And I think that should help a lot with a bunch of the overheating stuff.
And Natalie, I'm sure you guys are well conditioned for the heat. Do you mind running in the heat? Or, I mean, do you kind of look at it as a challenge?
I look at it as a way that I can sometimes excel above where I could normally place. I feel like whenever we go into really hard conditions, I'm pretty good equipped for them because I expect them and I think about it and I prepare really hard before races. And I think racing isn't just about, like, showing up and actually running. It's about all the steps that you take before it. And I think for tomorrow, our team has really good steps in place.
Well, after last week's race, Emmy Stubendeck is now ranked number 2 in Class 4A. If she is able to repeat her victory from that meet, then I'm sure Coach would like, you know, the two of you as well as Rebecca to finish ahead of Northwest's other runners. Last week, the Wolves 2 and 3 runners both came out of the 11-12 race, and they finished 14 and 18 seconds behind you, Ellie. Those two girls are Piper Vanderlei and Carolyn Opfer, and they're currently ranked 15th and 17th. So, Natalie, are those two of the girls that, you know, you'll be looking for as well during the race?
Yeah, I would suppose so. I think I don't look specifically for where girls are from in the race. I just try to focus on how I can work together with the other girls so that we can all have our best time and our best place possible.
And what about you, Ellie? Do you look for certain girls, you know, during a race that you want to be, you know, near or ahead of?
Yeah, it's kind of probably a bad habit of mine, but, like, I'm always, like, searching for, like, certain people in my race. So I'm like, oh, I know this girl, like, I should stay with her. Like, she'll run a great race. She'll run a nice, like, paced first mile even. Like, a lot of the Johnston girls, they run really well-paced races, and it's really nice to be in a group of them, as well as Northwest girls. Like, if you find yourself in a pack of Northwest girls, like I did last week, it's a good spot to be because they're extremely competitive girls. Like, you want to be surrounded by some competitive girls that once you pass them, they're going to, like, surge as well. And it just kind of keeps the race more engaging almost in a way. Like, I get pretty bored sometimes during 5Ks. Not as much as I do during track 3Ks, but it kind of keeps it more engaging and honestly more fun.
Yeah, at least you're not running around in circles, right?
So, yeah.
Well, let's look ahead to the rest of the season now. We talked with Coach about the challenge to the team to chase the state title. That's obviously a lofty goal that won't be easily achieved because there are a lot of strong teams in Class 4A. In the current rankings, you guys, you know, in Northwest are followed by Johnston and Pleasant Valley, which won the previous two state titles before the Wolves won it last year. You know, Natalie, do you think all those teams, you know, are legitimate contenders again?
Absolutely. I think everyone has really good girls, and I do think that there's a good chance that we could contend with them, and I'm excited by that. And I know that if we work really hard and just stay healthy, because I think staying healthy is a really big part of cross country.
And Ellie, which of those teams do you think might emerge as the biggest contender, you know, other than your own team?
Obviously, like Northwest, they're always there. They're great competitors, and they always peak at the right time. They're always right there. Johnston, always been such great competition. Like, obviously, before Natalie, like, they were winning everything. Like, I remember my freshman and sophomore year, you never beat Johnston. Like, they're amazing girls over there, and, like, they train hard. And also, like, DCG, like, they're kind of, like, emerging, and there's a bunch of girls over there doing great things. Like, obviously, Tanley being ranked first right now in the rankings, like, she's an insanely strong runner. So there's a lot of teams that could be contending for a top three or even state title.
Yeah, also want to ask you guys about the top individuals in Class 4A. You mentioned Tanley Heidgergen, who is the number one runner in 4A right now. Charlie Gall of Cedar Falls is number two behind, or number three behind Steubendeck. Of course, Gall had a tremendous track season last spring. Natalie, do you think, you know, when you get to state, assuming that you guys make it again, that Gall might be the one to beat just because of her past history?
I think that's definitely a possibility. I know at Drake and at state in the 3000, obviously I was focusing on my racing, but I was also partially like seeing her race, and I know she just runs really smart races, and I definitely think she could be a big contender.
And Ellie, after placing in the top 10 a year ago, I'm sure you'd love to finish your career with another podium finish, but I'm guessing a state title would mean even more to you. Did you feel like the team is capable of reaching that goal?
Yeah, we definitely focused a lot this summer. Like the start of the summer, we took our team trip, and Cog was kind of like, what do we think our team goal should be for this year? And we're like, maybe podium. He's like, well, I think we could win it. And we kind of all just like looked around, kind of like laughed a little bit, like, what's this guy talking about? But now that like we're actually in it and like ranked number one, it's kind of like a crazy feeling of it. And it's just, I would much rather our team win a state title than me be in the top 15 individuals, because it means so much more about a team that you can help foster and build. Like as a senior, it's more of what is the impact I'm going to leave on this team once I'm gone next year. And I want it to be a bigger impact than, oh, she just was a top finisher, instead of like, oh, she helped our team win a state title.
Well, if you guys go, I just wanted to finish off with one last question for both of you. Natalie, your dad has been coaching this team since 2013, so you basically, you know, grew up around the Jaguars program. Was there ever any question that you would become a runner for this team?
My dad purposefully waited a while before he introduced me to running, and I think that was really smart because I was able to explore a lot of other pathways. I was very involved in soccer and basketball, and now I'm still involved in many other activities. I'm currently working on show choir, and in the winter, I do a lot of mock trial. My team even competed in state for that last year, but it was very purposeful the way that he introduced me to running a bit later so I wouldn't get burnt out, I wouldn't feel too much pressure. And I think I'm really fortunate to have the team that I have with me too, because I feel like that was a really big piece in me enjoying running and learning to love racing and running and just the whole atmosphere.
And Ellie, I know you've developed a close bond with a lot of your teammates, but it sounds like you really embraced, you know, becoming a mentor for this talented group of sophomores, you know, when they joined the varsity a year ago. You know, do you feel like you've played a big role in helping them to become the runners that they've developed into?
Yeah, I feel like this summer I had some issues with just a bunch of roadblocks I had during the summer. And I kind of would train down a little bit, almost like kind of trying to help these girls understand, like, if a hard workout's hard, like, I can still finish it. Like, I ran with Kate Benning, Piper Klingner, Trinity Klingensmith a lot this summer, just kind of helping to foster, like, you guys mean just as much to this team as anybody else. Like, and I feel like I was almost purposeful in that, because my freshman and sophomore year, I had a whole class of girls that were doing the same thing for me, like Belle Hodges, Haley Beam, Annika Moorhauser, obviously played a big role into that. And I kind of wanted to be that for these girls. So, yeah.
Well, it seems to be working out pretty well. Hey, thanks a lot for joining me today, girls. Good luck tomorrow. I'll probably see you out there at the race.
Thank you.
You bet. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When it comes to real estate, experience matters. At Legacy Realty, we pride ourselves on having one of the largest and most experienced teams in Ankeny, with over 75 agents strong. As one of the top brokerages in the metro, our local agents bring unparalleled knowledge of the market to help you make the best decisions for your home sale or purchase. Whether you're buying your first home, upgrading, or looking to sell, our team is ready to provide expert guidance every step of the way. Backed by the national strength of LPT Realty, we offer cutting-edge tools and marketing strategies to ensure your success. Legacy Realty of Iowa, your trusted partner for buying or selling in Central Iowa. I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Ankeny Centennial Girls Cross Country coach Eric Cogdill and two of his top runners, his daughter Natalie, along with Ellie Blevins. I appreciate the time from all of them today. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.